We've been talking about Jesus calling us to life.
Thank you.
And it really, I think there's something amazing about what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to attain to righteousness. Romans the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 3, and this is one of those cases where chapter divisions don't work very well, because the thought in Romans 9 continues all the way through chapter 10 at verse 4. But this is the Apostle Paul presenting what has always struck me as a real paradox when I think about attaining righteousness. Romans 9, beginning at verse 30, he says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law." Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense." And everybody understands that that's Jesus. "Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them," for Israel, "is that they might be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God, seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." You know, as I read this, I have to constantly remind myself that the book of Romans is written to Christians. It wasn't a book that was written to people that were outside of Christ, but these were people that were Christians. They were people who had put on Jesus. Romans, the 1st chapter, beginning at verse 1 and reading all the way down through verse 7, you see the Apostle Paul emphasizing that over and over again, but he really kind of summarizes it in verse 7. He says, "I'm writing to those who are in Rome, who are loved by God, who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." When he writes this book of Romans, he's writing to Christians. Now, some of those Christians came out of a Jewish background. Some of those Christians came out of a Gentile background. And by far, by the time the book of Romans is written, Gentile Christians basically outnumber the Jewish Christians, because the gospel has begun to spread throughout the whole world, and it's converting people all over the place. And most of these people that are converted are Gentiles. So the church's characteristic, or the church's complexion, or its demographic nature really begins to change. In the beginning, it was all Jewish. But before long, by the time you get to Acts 10 and Cornelius is baptized, he's the first Gentile convert. By the time you get to Acts 10, the Gentiles start flooding in. And now he's going to talk about a comparison between these two groups. He's going to talk about Gentile Christians first, and then he's going to talk about Jewish Christians. And what he's really talking about is attaining righteousness. He says Gentile Christians, they did not pursue righteousness. So that, as I say, this is a real paradox. So I started looking at this word pursue. What does that mean? And so I found out that it's a word that's used frequently throughout biblical literature. It's a term that was used frequently in the secular literature, and there kind of summarizes the uses of this term. And I particularly like parts of his definition. Kind of reminds me, you have to understand a definition of a word that may be a little bit different than what you think of initially when you look at it in English. Because most of us kind of start with the understanding, we know what that word means, right? It's like the word let. Let, I know what that means, right? I let them in the door. Anybody play table tennis? And you serve and the ball hits the net. It's called a let ball. It was prevented. So that's one of those words that just the terminology just completely changed on its head. Well, that didn't happen with pursue, but this is what Thayer says, to pursue literally or figuratively. By implication, to persecute. That's interesting. To ensue. To follow after. Interesting. Given to suffer, to persecute, or persecution. And then there's this last part of his definitions is to press toward. Righteousness in and of itself was not the Gentile goal. We're talking about Gentile Christians. We're not, because the Jews would have been happy to say, well, the Gentiles, they never wanted to be right with God. But he's talking about Gentile Christians. They want to be right with God. But they didn't, in and of itself, make being right their goal. But they attained it. That's where the paradox comes in. The Gentiles who didn't pursue righteousness attained it. Righteousness, nevertheless, was the result of the life that they lived. How can I understand that? Well, I'll tell you really what helped me was to look at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 11. And what he says there is, there are some people who make it their goal to give to others. And he says, you know what? They wind up having everything that they need. Their goal is not to be rich. Their goal is to help other people. And they find that they attain wealth. Paradox, isn't it? What did they pursue? They pursued faith. And the result of pursuing faith was righteousness. That's caused by having their faith in God. So that's the Gentile Christians. That's the way that they built their life. They didn't pursued trying to be right. They pursued God. And they became right. So let's think about the Jewish Christians for a minute. That's the other side of the comparison. This is what he refers to as Israel. Okay? The Jewish Christians, their life was built around precisely keeping the law. Now, Jesus talked about people that were like that. He said, you tithe, mint, and anniseed, come and God had said, a tenth of everything that you have belongs to me. That's because I let you have your firstborn. A tenth of everything that you have belongs to me. So they were so precise about it that they would dump out their spices and they would count the grains of their spices. I can't imagine doing that. But they would tithe mint. And they count it out, or maybe you have to weigh mint. I don't know how you figure out a tenth of how much mint you had, but that's how precise they were. They pursued keeping a law that they thought would lead to righteousness. They thought that doing so would ensure that they were right. And it would be as if the only involvement of God was to recognize you did it. But the emphasis was not only on you did it, the emphasis was on you. I did it. That's Colossians, the second chapter. There were people who were hung up on touch not, taste not, handle not. That was how they lived their life. And Paul concludes his discussion about them in Colossians 2. Look at verse 23. He says, this indeed shows a wisdom in will worship, not to the satisfying of the flesh, but you're not following God. You have some commandments, touch not, taste not, handle not. And he says those commandments are going to perish with the using. But those are not following them is not going to make you a God follower. It makes you proud of what you have accomplished. It does produce a lot of work. But you're missing the point. Pursuing law keeping that you think is going to lead to righteousness doesn't succeed. They did not succeed in reaching that law. They didn't succeed in reaching righteousness. It dooms everyone to failure. If that's what your goal is, if that's what you're pursuing, not pursuing God, if you're pursuing doing precisely what he said, they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were based on works. Or, and I think the point that he's making is if they think that it's based on law keeping. This failed attempt of the Jews did produce a lot of works. But it's not based on finding faith in God. And again, I try to understand this, and it helped me to look at the paradox that you see in people who just their whole life is built on pursuing wealth. First Timothy at verse or chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, he said the love of money is the root of all evil. You won't be rich because of the love of money. You will only pierce yourself through with many sorrows. So you think you're going to get there. It seems like that ought to be the way to do it, but it doesn't work. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, at verse 8. You pursue money, your eyes are never going to be satisfied with riches. And Habakkuk says, you just make money to put it into a bag with holes in it. It doesn't work. If you pursue it by faith, it works. If you try to pursue righteousness by law keeping, it doesn't. And here's the real kicker. They dismiss the role of Jesus in making men righteous because they wanted their righteousness. It was okay if God had to add something to their righteousness, but they wanted their righteousness, their ability to keep the law. They wanted that to account for something. That was what they built their life around. Go back and read Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 11. It's the righteousness of God. That's what Lenny was talking about this morning at the Lord's Supper. It's the righteousness of God. And we're going to spend some time talking about the righteousness of God next week. But I wanted you to see this paradox. That the end of Romans 9 has always been a difficult chapter for me to, a difficult section of information for me to process. But I hope this helps. If you're here, we want you to pursue a righteousness that comes from God. Pursue faith in God. It will give you righteousness. You'll be right. If you've never put on Jesus, then all of this that we've been talking about this morning, it doesn't really apply to you. Because remember, this is stuff that was written to Roman Christians. So if you've never put on Jesus, the paradox is going to escape you. If you put on Jesus and you've begun to pursue righteousness that comes by faith, then this might make some sense to you. But if you haven't put on Jesus, you haven't started the journey, we want you to let us know that you want to do that. And we'll help you. You turn away from the way that you were living. Confess that Jesus is God's Son and put him on in baptism. And if you got hung up with pursuing righteousness as if it were based on works, then we want you to let us know it. It's not an easy concept. But this evening at 5:30, we're going to talk about maintaining zeal. Maybe that's the hardest part about being a Christian, is maintaining what we have. So we'll do that at 5:30. If there's something we can do to help you, if you need to pray and ask for God's forgiveness for leaving him, then we'll help you do that. James says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. And the reason behind that, he says, is the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much.